everyone else at one time? Why did Allah Ta'ala tell them that they were better than everyone else? It's because of the many prophets who were sent to them. Allah Ta'ala sent many prophets to Bani Israel. And not only that, but many times, Bani Israel, the children of Ya'qub, they had more than one prophet living amongst them at the same time. For an example, Ya'qub was a prophet. His son, Yusuf, they were together. Musa and his brother Harun were together. And not only that, but an authentic hadith explains to us that Yusha, or Joshua, as they commonly translate Yusha, he was with Musa when Musa went to get Khidr. When Musa met up with Khidr, the young man that Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, was Yusha. Also Dawood and his son Sulaiman, Zakariya and his son Yahya. These people, Allah Ta'ala favored them over everyone else, and that He sent them many prophets. And not only that, but there were times when prophets were together at the same time, more than one prophet. No doubt this is a tremendous ni'mah. Look how many hadith that they will have. Here we only have Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, Rasulullah is more than enough. Allah's argument has been established over the human beings with this one man, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So don't anyone say that they understand what I'm saying, that there's a problem with only one prophet being sent. I'm not saying that. But look at the ni'mah of Allah Ta'ala that He is telling Bani Israel, and remember the favors that I bestowed upon you, and that I honored you over all of the other people. Here, Musa and Harun is together. You can go to Musa today, go to Harun tomorrow. Go to Musa in the morning, go to Harun in the nighttime. Musa give the speech, Harun is giving the speech. Look at the ni'mah, what kind of people would treat the prophets the way they treated, the way Bani Israel treated their prophets, had it not been for the fact that these people, their hearts were just hard, and they were just evil, evil people. I mean, evil. They murdered the messengers of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May the peace and the blessings of Allah be upon all of His prophets. But we need to understand also that that was before the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was sent. After the Prophet was sent, the Prophet was made honorable over all of the other people. As he said in the authentic hadith, Ana Sayyid Walid Adam Wala Fakhr. I am the master, I am the best of the children of Adam, all of them. And that is not bragging. The Prophet ﷺ was the one who prayed with the prophets when he went to paradise. The Prophet ﷺ, his deen, al-Islam, is the deen that was proclaimed over all other religions. His book, the Quran, is the book that is proclaimed over all other religions. His sunnah is the sunnah that was proclaimed over all other religions. Him and his messengership, what he has brought, is being proclaimed over all other religions. So after the Prophet was sent, no longer is this honor exclusively for Bani Israel. Now the Prophet becomes better than him, and his community becomes better than the community of the Jews. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. But an example of this holiness that the Jews apply to certain peoples amongst them, we can find many examples of it, but just to mention a few from their book, the Talmud, it is written in the Talmud that the souls of the Jews are better than the souls of the Gentiles, because the souls of the Jews are an extension or a piece of Allah's soul. A'udhu Billah. As for the Gentiles, their souls are from animals. That's in the Talmud, as well as in the Torah. In another place in the Talmud, these Jews believe that Allah has subjugated all other men to be their slaves and under their rule, under the Jewish sovereignty. This is stated in many passages in the Talmud, in the Mishnah, as well as the Torah that they have. The Jews, they say that in the Bible, that it's permissible for a Jew to have illegal sexual intercourse with the wife of his Gentile neighbor, as well as permissible for him to sell the meat of a dead carcass to his Gentile neighbor, to any Gentile. But this is haram for him to do with a fellow Jew. Why? Because they are holy. They're better than everybody else. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran about this understanding of the Jews. He said, وقالت اليهود والنصارى نحن أبناء الله وأحباء قل فلما يعذبكم بذنوبكم بل أنتم بشر ممن خلق. Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Ma'idah, the table spread, in ayat number 18, and the Jews and the Christians say, the Jews and the Christians say, verily we are the beloved sons of Allah. We are the sons of Allah and His beloved ones. Allah tells the Prophet in his argument against these people, saying to them, then why is it that Allah punishes you for the evil that you did, the sins that you do? Why is it, if you're the sons of Allah and His beloved, why is it that He punishes you for the evil that you do? No, instead, you are only a group of men like the other men that He has created. You people don't have any special rank over anyone else. In another ayat, Allah Ta'ala gives us a description of the Jews and this understanding that they have. Allah Ta'ala says, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ إِنْ تَعْمَأْهُ بِدِينَارِ لَا يُوَدِّهِ إِلَيْكَ إِلَّا مَا دُمْتَ عَلَيْهِ قَائِمًا ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا لَيْسَ عَلَيْنَا فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ السَّبِيلِ. And from the Jews, there are certain people from them, there is the one from amongst them that if you entrusted him with one silver coin, you entrusted him with one silver coin, he will never pay it back to you. Except if you stood over him, consistently demanding from him your coin that you gave him. Just one coin. He'll never give it back to you. Why? Allah says, that's because they say, there's no blame on us to take the property of these people, of these illiterate people. There's no blame on us. If we don't give it back, if we don't give them their rights, and we take their property, there's no blame on us in the sight of Allah, because we're the beloved of Allah. We're some special group of people. And the Gentiles, you can do with them whatever you want. This is the Quran clearly stating these people's situation. Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, in the 80th ayah, He says, وَقَالُوا لَن تَمَسَّنَ النَّارُ إِلَّا أَيَّامٍ مَعْدُودًا قُلْ أَتَّخَذْتُمْ مِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَهْدًا فَلَنْ يُخْلِفَ اللَّهُ أَهْدًا أَمْ تَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says, and they say, them Jews say, the hellfire, the fire of hell will not touch us except for a few numbered days. The Jews believe that they would only go to the hellfire for 40 days and then they're going to get out. And all the other people are going to be in the hellfire forever. That's the evil ones from amongst them. The ones who do real evil, the real devils from them. They believe that they will go to the hellfire for 40 days and they will get out because they were oppressing the Arabs. They weren't given the rights. They go into contracts and they break the contracts. So the Arabs used to say to them, you people are the people of the book. How can you do this? They say, look, the hellfire is not going to touch us except for a number of days. We're going to kill Isa. The hellfire is not going to touch us except for a number of days. Allah Ta'ala says, say to them, O Muhammad, have you taken a contract to that effect from Allah? For verily Allah does not. He does not go against his contract. Or do you say about Allah that which you do not know? And this brings something to my mind. A hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When we look at the situation in Palestine today, how those Jews were given Palestine because of their position in the world, they were able to put pressure on the Western Empire at that particular time, France, America, Britain, and these people, particularly Britain, they gave the Jews Palestine. And the Jews said, we have more rights to Palestine because this is the home of our forefathers. SubhanAllah, look at this da'wah. Look at the oppression. And then they go there with the help of America and this New World Order. Look at the New World Order. The whole world is looking at what's happening in Palestine, what's happening in Bosnia. The whole world. The New World Order, these people who are behind it, these devils, I'm telling you, Elijah wasn't wrong when he called these people devils. I'm going to give them that. A lot of these people are devils. That's not to say all white people are devils, but the European man, what he is doing today is clearly shown to us, he has devilish tendencies. These people are in control right now. But that's why our brothers who are Caucasians, who are Europeans, who are on the da'wah of al-Islam with understanding of the Salaf, them is our ikhwan in Islam. Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُوا إِخْوَةٌ. Verily the believers are brothers. But anyway, the whole world is looking at what's happening in Palestine and the oppression that is taking place. And they're listening to this da'wah of the Jews. And the New World Order allows it to take place. And then they turn a blind eye in other places where the Europeans are oppressing people. SubhanAllah. When the Muslims stand up for their rights, they say this is terrorism. And then they turn a blind eye to Palestine and these other places. Look, the New World Order, what it's all about. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we need to pray at night. We need to pray after the Adhan that Allah destroys these people. That He destroys them and gives them the reward that they deserve. But anyway, there's an authentic hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about Dawood, the Prophet of Allah, the Prophet who was sent to Bani Israel alayhi salatu wasalam. There were two women. One of these women, she put a baby down out of negligence, and a wolf came and ate her baby and ran off with the baby. So she took the other woman's baby and she said, "This is my baby." So they went to Dawood, the Prophet of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. And the woman who had the baby said, "This is my baby." And the wolf took her baby and ate it and ran away. Now she wants my baby. The woman whose baby it really was said, "No, this is my baby." But because the prophets don't know the unseen, he was only able to judge by that which was visible to him. This woman has the baby. Now it's upon the other woman to prove that's her baby. Because the goods is in the hands of the one who's claiming it. And this is a rule that we have in Al-Islam, which comes from a hadith. Al-Bayan al-Mudda'i. This hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, the claimant has to prove his case. So the woman who didn't have the baby in her hands, and it was really her baby, she had to bring the dalil. She couldn't bring any dalil. So when they left, they saw Sulaiman. The woman who wasn't her baby, she said to Sulaiman, "Look, this is what happened. This, that." Sulaiman said, "Okay, give me a knife. I'll cut the baby in half. You take half and you take half." The woman whose baby it wasn't said, "Okay, I agree with that. I agree with that." The woman who it was her baby, she said, no, don't cut my baby. That's my baby. Why? Because the other woman, she didn't taste the blood that came after childbirth. She didn't taste she didn't feel the pains of the childbirth. She didn't feel on that. So she'll say, "Okay, take the baby. That's do it, I agree." Likewise, Philistine. Philistine has two mothers. One mother who is counterfeit, who's a liar. And another mother is who's the actual mother, and that's the people of Palestine, the Muslims of Palestine. That's our masjid in Philistine. So, it's a strange thing when we see Abu Ammar, Yasser Arafat, agreeing to divide this place up with these people. Know for a surety, this man Yasser Arafat is a secularist. He has clearly stated to these people what? He has stated to these people that when we get the Palestinian state, it's going to be a state where a Muslim can become a Christian become a Muslim, you can be a communist, you can be whatever you want. Just as long as you're Palestinian, we're going to be down with Palestine. So the PLO, Ikhwan, they do not represent the Muslims of Palestine. No, let me correct that. They do represent the Muslims of Palestine, but they do not represent the Muslims who want to establish the Quran and the Sunnah in Palestine. Seek refuge from Allah Ta'ala. The oppression of the Jews, because they simply say, we are some special kind of people. As for the Shiite, likewise, they have the same understanding. And it's just too many texts to bring for you from the Shiite. Too many. Of them, what their famous Imam al-Tusi said. He said, نَحْنُ خِيرَةُ اللَّهِ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ وَشِيَعَتُنَا خِيرَةُ اللَّهِ مِنْ أُمَّةِ النَّبِيِّهِ. He said, we are the best of Allah's creation, the Shiite. And our Shiite, our group, we are the best that Allah has produced for this Ummah. The Shiite believe that had it not been for the Shiite, Allah wouldn't have created the world. The Shiite believe that everything has Izzah, honor. And the Izzah of Islam is the Shiite. Everything has Sharaf, you know, Sharif. And the Sharaf of Al-Islam is the Shiite. The Shiites believe that they will be the majority of the occupants in the paradise. One of their famous imams by the name Al-Mahasin, he said, Wallahi, ma yaqbalu Allahu illa minkum, wa la yaghfiru illa lakum, wa antum al-awwalun al-sabiqun, akthar al-nas fi al-jannah. He said, I swear by Allah, Allah will never accept anything from anyone except you people, the Shiite. And he will never forgive anyone except you people, the Shiite. and you will be the first people and the majority of the people in the paradise. Also, the Shia have what's known as tuqya. A tuqya is to lie, but you say something to make someone think. When he hears what you're saying, he either thinks something else, or you just outright lie to him. This is what tuqya is into the Shia. For an example, you find a Shiite making zina with a kafir woman, and you know that this woman is not his wife, and you know that she's a dirty, stinking kafir woman who don't wash herself. You know that. So when you say to this person, they didn't say brother, when you say to this person, your deen allows you to do that, your deen allows you, he'll say, this is my sister, trying to get you to understand that it's his sister from his mother. Trying to get you to understand that it's his sister on the Shiite religion or something like that. This is one form of tuqya. Or just outright lying. If you see one of these knuckleheads and you say to him, what do you think about Abu Bakr? He'll say, MashaAllah, Abu Bakr is a khalif and like this. One time, I had prayed Fajr in the Prophet's masjid. Wallahi, this is a true story. And I was sitting there reading the Quran. Because when I see these Shiites praying in the masjid, see, they shouldn't be here. But because of the politics, they're here. But anyway, when I see these people, I walk in front of them, I break their salat, I push them out the way, old men, old women, I like this. That's what I do. Of course, if I'm sure, there's not going to be a greater evil. But if it's going to be a greater evil, like they're going to put me in jail or something like that, then I'm going to leave that alone myself. But when they're praying, whether they're praying to a sutra or not, most of them don't pray to a sutra, I walk right in front of them. Even when the Prophet said, It's better for one of you to wait 40 before walking in front of the one who is praying. But is there a salat for a person who says Abu Bakr is a kafir and a homosexual? Is there a salat for a person who says that the Quran is naqis, is incomplete? There's no salat for him. They shouldn't be here. One day I prayed Salatul Fajr in the Prophet's masjid, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as I was sitting there reading the Quran or memorizing the Quran, I don't remember, a Shiite came. And he sat next to me. And he asked, where are you from? And I knew he was a Shiite. So I wanted the opportunity to start talking to him. I said, I'm from America, because people, they get happy. You know, they want to know you more when you tell them you're from America. I said, I was from America. So he became happy like the rest of the Muslims do. Or like the Muslims do. So what happened was, we started to talk a little bit. So I said, listen, you're from Iran? He said, yes. I said, I heard. I don't know. I was acting like I didn't know. I said, I heard that you people say Abu Bakr is this and you people... This man started to recite the Quran. And he said, whoever says Abu Bakr is a kafir, then he's a disbeliever. Because Allah says in the Quran, and he started reciting ayahs for me. He started to do it. So when I had the Quran, his friend came over who clearly didn't like me. He clearly was wondering, why was this guy talking to me? So the one who came first wanted me to give him the Quran, and I refused, because I knew he was just using tuqya fani. He was just saying that to me so that, you know, I couldn't get on his case. So when he wanted the Quran from me, there were many Qurans around us. You want my Quran? I refuse. I never give you the Quran. I never give you one inch of what I got, joker. So what happened was, he became angry. When he stood up, he started to say things, you know, curse me. It sounded like in his language. So I said,
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله أفاض الخير
وأغدقني What did she do to you? Like the man was cursing me, but he was trying to use tuqya. He was trying to say, he was trying to show me that he was making dua for me, you see? He was getting up and he was like saying something like trying to make me think that he was making dua for me, so therefore
أمر هذا الدين قوامة الراشدة
The thing that you said
الآخرة والأولى وتحقيق للأرواح والضمائر صلاته
أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى فعافية Anyway, here, Ikhwan, we have to understand that the tuqya of the Shiite is only used for the people of Ahl Sunnah. The tuqya of the Shiite is only used for the people of Ahl Sunnah. So don't be fooled into thinking that these people give tuqya to other people. No, it's only to fool us. They said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Ali, "Oh Ali, your Shiite are going to be the first people to enter into paradise, and you will be the first people who will drink from my fountain." So again, I'm telling you that these people are like the jewels in that they think that they're better than everybody else. Actually, from their deen is not only tuqya, because they have this hadith, they have this saying, مَنْ لَا تُقْيَةَ لَهُ فَلَا دِينَ لَهُ. Whoever doesn't have any tuqya, he has no deen. Also, anyone from the Shiite who does a bad thing to the Sunni person, this is considered a good thing in their deen. And that's why we find the Shiite every single year during Hajj time killing the Muslims for Hajj. Every single year. Every single year. The people who stole the black stone from the Kaaba, them people were Shiites. They stole the black stone from the Kaaba and had it for 20-something years. Took it away. Came to Mecca and killed the Muslims and took the black stone for over 20 years. Them people were Shiites. And they're still doing that up until today. Every single year, there's some disturbance from the Shiite where they're killing the people. When you go to Mecca and you start making tawaf on the, around the Kaaba, you see that the Shiites do what? They go the opposite way. When we go to the masjid for salat, we make salat to dhuhr, asr, maghrib, isha. When we leave, we see the Shiites coming. In groves, many of them. We're leaving, they're coming. They do everything to the opposite of us. Everything. This year for Hajj, inshallah, you can expect the Shiite to come and to kill some of the Hujjaj, the people who make Hajj, every year. Can you believe this? Nothing is sacred to them if it concerns the Sunni people. They do everything, I'm telling you, to be opposite of us. Look how they pray. Look how they pray. One time, we were over there in Brooklyn at their masjid, and when salat time came, they all stood up and they started throwing these rocks in front of them. These flat rocks that they claim are from Karbala. If you pray on this rock, you get so many blessings. It was strange. I mean, a deen that's totally different from the deen that Muhammad brought, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can you just imagine people coming, taking the black stone out of the Kaaba, taking it to Khorasan that's over there in Persia, and leaving it with them for 20 years? What kind of people are this? What kind of Islam do they understand? Killing the Muslims while they're praying, going opposite of Muslims, bringing defecation to the Kaaba, putting it on the floor so that the Muslims will step on it. And if you step on the defecation, of course, now you become, you got dirt on you. You can't make salat like that. You can't make tawaf like that. A'udhu billah from these people. Another similarity that we have between the Jews and the Shiite is that they both have changed the books that were given to them. And the changes that they made in their books are of different types. There's a change where they change a word totally. Or they change the meaning of what's there. Or they give a false meaning to what is being read or what is being stated. They change a word totally, as Allah says in the Quran, and many ayahs concerning the Jews, and they'll change the word. Like He told them to enter into the city. وَقُولُوا حِطَّةٌ. Allah told them to say this word, that we repent, right? But they changed the word to hinta, which is a type of food that they had. They changed the word totally. Or they changed the meaning of something. Allah said, لَا تَلْبِسُ الْحَقِّ الْبَاطِلِ. Don't dress the truth with what is not truthful, with falsehood. Or they changed the tafsir. They have their own tafsirs about what the Quran is saying, as well as the Jews. So from most of the things that have gone by already, that we've discussed already, you can put all of that into this particular issue here, this similarity, in that the Jews said in the Torah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Ya'qub, to Musa, that He made him a god over Fir'aun, and his brother Harun is his prophet. We know that this is a change. We know that this is a lie. And just take everything else from the Shiite and the Jews that has gone already. But inshallah, we'll just give a few more instances or examples so that we can increase this particular point. Nuran. Nurun ala nur, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, Inna anzalna Torah, fiha hudan wa nur. Allah tells us in the Quran, verily we have revealed the Torah. In it was guidance and light. In another ayat of the Quran, in Surah Al-An'am, the Surah of the Cattle, ayat number 154, Allah Ta'ala says, ثُمَّ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابِ تَمَامًا عَلَى الَّذِي أَحْسَنَ وَتَفْصِيلًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُدًا وَرَحْمَةً لَعَلَّهُمْ بِلِقَاءِ رَبِّهِمْ يُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says, then we gave Musa the book to complete our favor upon those who do right and explaining all things in detail. And we give them, and in it was guidance and mercy in the hopes that they will believe in the meeting that they have with their Lord, Yawm al-Qiyamah. So we understand from this ayah and many other ayahs like it that the Torah was complete and Allah explained in it everything that these people needed to know. But what did they do? Allah tells us in Surah Al-Ma'idah in ayah number 13, He says, فَبِمَا نَقْضِهِمْ مِيثَاقَهُمْ لَعَنَّاهُمْ وَجَعَلْنَا قُلُوبَهُمْ قَاسِيَةً يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلَمَ مِنْ مَوَاضِعِهِ وَنَسُوا حَظًّا مِمَّا ذُكِّرَ بِهِ. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, and because of the contract that they broke with us, we cursed them. And we made their hearts hard-hearted. This is the answer to the question that went before. How could a group of people who were sent so many prophets act the way they acted? Because Allah Ta'ala made their hearts hard for them. And that's the meaning of the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Khutbat al-Hajjah. مَنْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهِ فَلَا مُدِلَّ لَهِ وَمَنْ يُدْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهِ. Whoever Allah guides, there's none who can lead him astray. And whoever Allah causes to go astray, there's none who can guide him aright. The reason why they went astray was because they consistently refused to take the word, the guidance, the rahmah of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them forget their own souls, and they forgot themselves, and they went astray. Allah tells us in this Quran, they changed the words from their proper places, and they forgot their portion that we reminded them of. The point here is that they changed the words from their proper place. And another ayat of the Quran is Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah Ta'ala tells us, فَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ يَكْتُبُونَ الْكِتَابَ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ ثُمَّ يَقُولُونَ هَذَا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ لِيَشْتُرُوا بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. And woe unto those. So woe unto those who write the book with their own hands, and then they say, verily, this is from Allah. They do that so as to buy a small price. They want to buy a small price of this world. Look how they misled our people. My mom's is a Christian today. These people have misled her for a small price so that she can go out on Christmas and spend all that money with those people. So that she can go out on Mother's Days and on the birthdays of her children and spend all that money. Look what they've done to the people of the world. They just get a small price. They've sold their souls for a small price. So, Allah tells us that the Jews changed their book. In the Torah, we have, for an example, Musa telling about when he died. Someone is talking in the third person. And we know that the Torah was supposed to be revealed to who? To Musa, the son of Imran. Anyway, they have in this book, and Musa died at this place when he was walking here in his grave. He was buried over here. How could this be revealed to Musa? How could he be telling his own death and where he was buried like this? Of course, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can reveal to him, to let him know. But subhanAllah, the way that they have it, this is, you get the understanding that somebody else, the third person, is the one who's doing the talking. And examples of this in their book is too many. They themselves agree that the Torah isn't from Musa, isn't from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it's from their Pharisees and their rabbis. As for the Shiites believe that the Sahabas changed the Quran. They believe that the Quran that we have is only a third of the Quran, was called the Quran of Fatima. And the Quran of Fatima is a Quran that they say Jibreel came to Fatima and he started giving her revelation, and Ali was hiding in her room under the bed, and while he was hiding, he was writing down what Jibreel said. Jibreel didn't know that Ali was there. And the reason that the Shiites make this particular claim is important that we understand. It's because the most important principle of their deen is built upon what's known as al-imama, that Ali is the successor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, when the Sunni person says to the Shiite, you talk about this imama all the time, and you talk about Ali as the successor. The Quran doesn't mention one word of this. The Quran doesn't mention one word of this incident. Why? They say, in response to that question, the Quran was changed. The Sahabas came together and they changed the Quran because they gave the bayah to Abu Bakr and they knew they were supposed to give the bayah to Ali. This is their response. And then when you ask them about the ayah that Allah Ta'ala promises that He'll protect the Quran, they'll say, Al-Bada'. Al-Bada' is a belief that the Shiite have, and this is another similarity between the Jews and the Shiite. Al-Bada' simply means that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, He decides to change a thing. And this is actually attributing ignorance to Allah. Their imams and their leaders, like Al-Khumaini, what they'll say, they'll make certain predictions. They'll say, what's going to happen is this, this, and this, and that. If this thing happens, they'll say, didn't we tell you it was going to happen? Didn't I not tell you it was going to happen? I got that knowledge from the imam. Or I got some special knowledge. I know the unseen. And then if it doesn't happen the way that he said it was going to happen, he'll say, Allah decided not to make it happen. Allah changed the qadr. He changed the decree. So you see how they attribute to Allah ignorance. Allah Ta'ala has decreed everything, as the Quran said in so many ayahs. So many ayahs in the Quran. And now these people come and say, no, Allah at this time, he changed it. They are like the Jews who attribute to Allah the fact that Uzair is the son of Allah. They say that Allah became sad when he saw all the evil of the mankind. He was sad for what he had created. After 6 days, Allah rested. A'udhu billah. A'udhu billah. The Shiite and the Jews are similar to this. Here, the Shiite are saying Allah is ignorant. They're saying there's some ill effect in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his existence. He's ignorant. He doesn't know about a thing until he decides to change that thing. Now, that dictates to us, if you decide to change something, that means that there's something wrong. Allah didn't have enough knowledge of a particular thing that he didn't want it. He realized he didn't want it, so he changed it. This is what the Shiites say. And the Jews as well attribute to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala many things that he is far away from those things, far above those things. Aluwin kabira. And with that, we bring this tape to an end. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it from us and to accept it from you. And my advice to the brothers is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, بَلَّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةٍ. Tell about me, even if it's only one ayah. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَنَسَلَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى السَّدَادُ وَالتَّوْفِيقُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.